On today's episode of the Productivity Podcast, I'm talking about how to be more productive when it comes to managing your personal finances.
Welcome to the Productivity Podcast, the show that will supercharge your productivity fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice, and become a Jedi Master of Productivity. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Productivity Podcast. Thank you for tuning into this episode. As always, I really do appreciate your time and your attention because I know how valuable those things are. And today's episode, today I'm kicking off five consecutive episodes. I'm launching five podcast episodes this week. And it's a bit of a celebration because I've just got some fancy new podcasting gear. And so this is a great way for me to just have a little fun with it, experiment with it, learn how to use it, hopefully. And so I'm answering your questions this week. Thanks to everyone that submitted questions. And so 26. So the show notes for this episode can be found at paulminers.com/26. And today's question comes from Jesse. And Jesse asks, what productivity principles can be applied to personal finances and how can we be more productive when it comes to managing our money? So thank you for the question, Jesse. I really liked this question. I've chosen it because it's something I feel that, yeah, if you can be more effective and efficient with how we manage our personal finances, not only can it save us time, but actually it can help you to be smarter with how you use your money as well. So there's kind of a two-pronged bonus from being more productive with how you manage your money. You can save time, but you can get more out of your money and make smarter financial choices. Now, before we get into this episode, I do just want to give a small disclaimer, which is obviously I am not a financial expert. A lot of what I'm going to talk about is just my own personal opinion and just share what I do. But please, if you want to make any big changes, feel free to consult like a finance expert and challenge me on these ideas if you want. I'm just going to share my opinions and what I do. So yeah, that's my little disclaimer before we get into the episode. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was how you can use a credit card to maximize the interest that you earn on your savings. Now, some people think credit cards can be a really bad thing if you're paying high interest on a credit card. And if that is the case, then I definitely think you should make it a priority to pay down any existing credit card debt that you have, because if you're paying like 15 or 20% credit card debt, that's one of the most expensive types of debt that you can have. Like, it's much higher than a mortgage. And so I definitely think if you have credit card debt, you should pay that down as quick as you can. The best way to use a credit card, I find, is to put all your expenses onto your card. So every time you need to buy something at the shops or pay your Netflix bill, your internet bill, anything really, like in New Zealand anyway, we don't use a lot of cash. Most things will go onto an FPOS card. So an FPOS card is just a very quick way to access like your normal checking account. And I actually use my credit card for most things as well, which some people might kind of think that that's a bit unnecessary. But the advantage of putting everything onto your credit card, firstly, is that you get to keep your savings and your income in your check or your savings account for longer, so you earn higher interest. The second thing is, if you have a credit card with a really good reward scheme, is you can actually earn rewards points. Now, I have a cashback credit card, which means for every dollar I spend, I'm going to be earning cashback points, and then once a year I get rewarded with literally just a lump sum of cash gets put onto my card. And you know, if I'm putting all my expenses onto the card, or most of my expenses onto the card during the year, that can end up being like a considerable amount of money. So I actually have the highest tier card that I can buy. It's about 120 New Zealand dollars for the card, but I earn a lot of cashback points for using. And because it's that higher tier as well, I earn more points compared to the lower tier cards. Now then, to avoid paying interest on your card, you need to make sure that you pay off the full balance at the end of every month. And so I advise you actually set this up as an automatic payment. Most banks will let you do this online. And so what happens, let's say during the month, I put $3,000 worth of spending onto the card. I then get a statement at the end of the month that says, okay, you need to pay $3,000 to pay off your balance and avoid paying any interest. So I actually have an automatic payment set up with my bank where that money is taken out of my day-to-day check account. And it's a dynamic payment. So every month the balance might be slightly different and my bank will be able to take out just the money it needs to pay off that credit card. And so what I'm doing by using my card in this way is I'm keeping my salary and our income in our account for longer to earn higher interest, and then paying off the card automatically so I can earn all those reward points and get all the benefit of the rewards of the card, but then never ever pay any interest. I've never paid a dollar of interest on my credit card. And so you do need to obviously have sufficient funds in your day-to-day check account to make this work. So if you want to, if you're not in this position yet, you need to pay down any existing credit card and then obviously have some savings that you can draw on. And yeah, when those automatic payments occur and your bank is going to transfer the balance from your check account to your credit card, you need to have enough money in that account. So that's really important, obviously. The next thing I want to talk about when it comes to managing your finances is to automate as many of the payments that you need to make on a monthly basis as you can. So I mentioned it before, like if you've got a monthly payment that needs to be made to Netflix or your internet or your water bill, all of these kind of expenses, in my opinion, should be automated so that they get paid automatically at the end of every month. You're not going to be kind of caught short and your Netflix gets turned off temporarily. If you are going to be paying as you go, it's just going to take more time and you need to actually manually remember to make these payments every month. So I much prefer to set up a direct credit if I can, and again, putting it all on the credit card so that I never have to remember to pay anything, really, like everything. Internet, Netflix, water, power, what else have we got? Like even stuff for my website, like my MailChimp bill, hosting, all that kind of stuff is set up to just automatically get paid. And because I have that automatic credit card payment as well, it means that my card gets cleared automatically. And obviously my income's coming in being paid by my employer. So the whole system very much kind of looks after itself. I don't have to do much, really. My income comes in and then it goes to the right place at the right time to pay off that credit card as it's needed. Now, some other things that you can do to be smart with your personal finances, and this comes from Ramit Sethi's book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, which is a fantastic book, which talks about a lot of these principles as well, is decide where you want to be saving money and how much you want to save for various things. And then when your income comes in, once a fortnight or once a month or however often you get paid, set up automatic payments so that a portion of that income is siphoned out and put into your different savings accounts. So if you're saving for superannuation, or if you're saving for a holiday and you have a separate holiday account, or maybe you want to have like a guilt-free account where you can use that money to buy anything you like without feeling guilty. Well, you can set up payments so that every fortnight when that salary comes in, maybe 10% goes into your guilt-free account and you've got 20% goes into some kind of superannuation scheme. That's actually quite high. And the various different places. And so again, like you want to have it all set up so that as your money comes in, all the payments are automatically happening so that the money goes to where it's needed at the right time. So I really like this idea. Actually, I don't do this myself. The reason is because we have a mortgage, and with our bank account, we don't have any kind of savings accounts. Generally, when you have a mortgage, you don't, in fact, have any savings because you just owe a ton of debt. And so keeping your money in a savings account is actually not the most efficient way to use that money. And if you think about it like this, if you have $100 and you earn, let's just say 5% interest, well, in New Zealand anyway, it's going to differ in different places, but you need to pay tax on that interest. And so you might only earn, let's say, $3 for every $100 that you save. So the net effect to your wealth is that you've earned $3. On the flip side, if you use that $100 to offset your mortgage, and you can do this using a revolving credit account, and it has different names in various places, but I know it as a revolving credit account, and basically a huge portion of our mortgage is put onto revolving credit, and then our salary goes into that account. And what it means is that any income we receive from wages and salaries goes into that account to reduce the total interest that we're paying on the mortgage. And so for every $100 you put in there, if you're paying, let's just say 5% interest on your mortgage, well, obviously there's no tax involved. So what it means is you actually end up saving $5. And so you have to think about, would you rather save $5 or earn $3? And so the net effect is that it's actually better to reduce the total interest that you're paying. So that's why we have a revolving credit account and we don't actually have savings accounts, because it's more efficient to use our income to offset the interest that we pay on our mortgage. And I would say that anyone with a mortgage should consider using this kind of revolving credit facility to reduce the total interest that they're paying. It's generally for people that are more disciplined with money, because with a revolving credit facility, you might be pre-approved to go up to a limit of, say, $50,000. And if you're not very disciplined and you kind of pay it down and then you see, oh, I've got $20,000 available on my facility, I can go and spend that. Well, that's not really the idea. You shouldn't spend it just because it's there. So it is for people that are a bit more disciplined with money. Now, finally, the final piece of advice I wanted to share was that as you get to the end of the month, you should do what you can to try and track the expenses that you're paying and categorize your expenses so that you have a clear picture of where your money is being spent. Now, I use a service called PocketSmith. It's actually made by a New Zealand company, but it does work with lots of international banks as well. You might have heard of Mint.com, and you can actually sign up for an account and then connect your account to your bank, and it will download the transactions into your account. And then it's very smart. It uses a service called Yodlee to automatically categorize the different expenses. So for example, it might recognize an expense at the local petrol station and categorize it as gasoline, and it will recognize an expense at the supermarket and categorize it as groceries. And you do have to manually kind of update some of those categories yourselves, and you can create some of your own. But going through this process, and actually, before I move on, you can set up automatic filters. So with like MailChimp, for example, I always have that categorized as a business expense. And so it becomes very efficient to categorize everything. The more you update it, it actually learns how you categorize things. But then what you do is at the end of the month, you can go through, look at all your transactions, update any of the categories that you need to, and you just get a really nice clear picture of, okay, this is where my money's going. This is how much came in, and this is the surplus or deficit at the end of the month. And you can very clearly see over time whether you're earning more money than you're spending. And so it's about giving you the information that you need to make smarter choices. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning. When you have more knowledge about where your money's going, it's easier to see where you can potentially save in order to where you can potentially cut back, in order to save more money. So like for us, groceries is a huge expense. Like after your mortgage or your rent, food is one of the biggest expenses you have. And once that became clear to me, it was kind of obvious that in order to save money, we should potentially make smarter choices at the supermarket to buy only seasonal vegetables and be more careful with the money that we're spending at the supermarket, because that is a category where we typically spend a lot of money. So that's my final bit of advice when it comes to managing your personal finances. Just get some sort of tool that you can use to categorize your different expenses so that you have that very clear picture and so that you can make smarter choices. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Thanks for the question, Jesse. And I will talk to you tomorrow for the next question on the Productivity Podcast.
My name is Paul Miners, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Productivity Podcast. For me, productivity is a tool for getting more out of life. I believe that if you can be more effective and efficient, not just at work, but in everything that you do, that this, I truly believe, is the pathway to a happier and more fulfilling lifestyle. Join me at paulminers.com and sign up to my free email course, the 7-Day Productivity Plan, to learn more about my approach to productivity and how I balance multiple projects, how I use different apps within my productivity system, and how I get more done with less stress. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate if you could leave me a review. Let me know if you have any questions or what you'd like to learn more about. And who knows, maybe I'll decide to talk about it on the show. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you next time on the Productivity Podcast.